out of the overflow of my life. So the majority of the time I'm preaching about what I've been living in the week, and what I've been living with is change. Change, change, and more change. And change is difficult. Some people handle change better than others. I'm not somebody that handles change real well. I don't really like things changing. I like for things to stay the same, but that's not a reality. Reality is that change is constant, and change is something that is we have to learn how to adapt to it, because it's always going on. Change is always happening. If you're not changing, you're not living. If you're not changing, you're not growing. So things in life, they will change. And I'm going to begin to minister to you on change. I'm going to minister on grief a little bit this morning. I know that there are lots of people, you know, the older I get, I learn that the grieving process is more than just a death in a family. I'm not going to exclude it, but I know that I can speak for myself, and there's a lot of grief that I've had over the past several months, and I can relate to you. I can relate to you, and I can sympathize, and I can have compassion if you're grieving. Maybe you're grieving the death of a relationship that didn't go the way that you wanted it to. Maybe you're grieving an actual death in your family. Maybe you're grieving over the person you think that you used to be, and you're wanting that person back. I want to tell you that God is here to minister to you this morning. I'm going to ask you right now to turn to Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to begin to look at verse 20 and 21. And it says here, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons, and He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He changes times and seasons. God changes times and seasons. You may be getting out of a season in your life where you had a lot of grief. You may be getting out of a season in your life that was difficult. I want to tell you that whatever season that you're in today, God is there. Whatever you've come up against, God has come up against that with you full force. Whatever you're handling right now, God is with you to help you to handle that. Change is something that's going to always happen in your life. I sat back, and this week I just had a week where I was just reflecting. How many of you reflect on your life and your life choices and things that's gone on in your life? Good, you should. You should. And I was reflecting, and Melissa, I've had a lot of tears this week for whatever reason. It was just, maybe it was just in the air, but I've shed a lot of tears this week, and I was kind of mourning the person that I thought I was. And God just reminded me, Kelly, stop mourning over who you thought you were and just start being that best version of who you are today. Of who you are today. See, you can have grief in your life, and you can have grief because of change. Change is so crazy, because you could be living one day and everything be one way, and then in a moment's time something changed and you're living in a different environment altogether. And so that's hard for people to get a hold of. It's hard for people to adapt to change, but it is absolutely a must. And I will never preach about something that I can't give you chapter and verse. And so in Daniel chapter 2, it says in verse 21, He changes times and seasons. God brings about change in our lives. Sometimes our decisions bring about change. Sometimes mistakes bring about change. There's many things that bring about change, but change in your life does not surprise God. God is not taken off guard by anything that has happened to you. God is still well able to make all grace abound to you. He is still well able to turn a bad situation into the best thing that's ever happened to you. He is still well able to do that. And so I wrote some notes here, and it says, it is God who changes times and seasons in our lives. God allows and creates change to help us grow. God gives us wisdom and understanding for the new seasons. Transition and change always lead to growth. Growing is crucial for you to become who you were meant to be. Change is crucial for you to grow into the person that you were meant to be. If you don't hear anything else that I preach this morning, I want to tell you that when God made you, He made you without regret. He's not sorry that He made you. The calling of God is on your life, and it comes without repentance. He's not sitting there saying, well, I called Kelly to do this, this, and this, and she's messed up a couple times, so I'm just sorry altogether that I made her. No, God is still the God that says, you know what? I gave you that calling. I put it over your life. I anointed you to do that. I filled you full of purpose, and I don't have any regrets when it comes to my kids. You know, my children, sometimes they disappoint me. Sometimes they aggravate me. But you know what? I never regret that I had them. I never regret them. God never regrets His kids. Amen? God is full of grace for the new seasons in our life. When we grow, we get to know God in a new and fresh way. In a new and fresh way. There's times I've got two little boys, and there are times where they'll say, my legs hurt or my this hurt, and I always think, are they having growing pains? And you know what? A lot of times, us adults, we're having growing pains, and we're having trouble getting used to the new that's in our life. It's not easy to get used to something that you thought was going to be one way, and it turned it out, it ain't that way. But you know what? Don't live in yesterday. Don't live in what you thought life was going to be. There are people and there are good, sweet believers, and they can't go on in their life because they're so stuck on what they thought that they had, and they didn't have it at all. Don't be someone that's always looking back, thinking, well, I missed this season of my life, and I wish things were like they used to be. I've done that a lot this week. But you know what? What I know that I know that I know is that God has enough grace to make the new better than what it ever has been. There's been so many times where I've heard people, they've said, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Look here. You're probably right. You're probably right. No, you won't be, because as things happen in your life, they shape you into the person that God's always had for you to be, which is that person full of purpose. God didn't create you just for you to be a lump and never do anything, right? God created you to do something, and not just to do something that's meaningless. God created you to do something amazing. And the changes that you go through in your life are going to bring about a closeness to God that you've not yet had. And you know what? When you get into that place in your life where you feel like, oh, God, I feel all alone. You ever notice how change makes you feel like you're alone? You ever notice that? Well, guess what? That's a great place to be. Because God is with you in the middle of that change. As you get to know God better through change, you get to know yourself better. You get to know yourself better. My dad always said, you need to know when to hold them, you need to know when to fold them, and you need to learn how to know when to walk away. You need to know how to hold them, fold them, and know when to walk away. There's times where change will make you hold your peace for just a moment. There's times when you just totally need to walk. And it's okay to do any of those things. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to look at verse 8. You know, and I have spent a lot of time this week, I don't know what's been up with me. I just have had a week where I've been a little bit more on the quiet side, which is very abnormal for me. I'm a blabbermouth. And then I've just had a lot of time reflecting. And I've thought a lot about the different people in the church. And I've thought, you know, sometimes I just sit back and I just think about a family or I think about a person. And I look at their life and I see all the things that God does that God does for them. And then I sit back and I say, boy, God, you're so good. Thank you for doing that for that person in our church. And thank you for doing that for this family. And thank you for doing that, God, in that person's life. And, you know, change is not easy, but change always helps you. Change helps you. I was thinking about the Heltons this week. And as many of you know, there's not too many testimony times go by in church on Sunday nights where Melissa Helton doesn't get up and talk about the house fire. You know why? Because that was a pivotal moment. That was a pivotal moment in y'all's lives. And did God create that? No. But did he capitalize on it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Has he turned things around? Absolutely. What I can tell you is that John and Melissa and their children, they're not the same. They're not the same. Are y'all? But you're better. But you're better. I remember driving up on a Wednesday night and seeing that house on fire, and I remember little Autumn running up to me and just the worst crying I have ever heard from a little kid. And she just wrapped her arms around me and she said, Pastor Kelly, my house is on fire. And I just remember just my whole self wanting to just fall apart because it just devastated me for this baby. And I looked away and I said, you know what, God? Only you are going to be able to fix this. Only you can make this up to them. I sat there racking my brain. God, what can I do? God, what can I do? And I'm going to tell you something. There are times of change in your life that you're sitting there going, God, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And many times, it's not a matter of you doing whatever. It's a matter of you standing right there and letting God get that change processing in your life. And you know what? What I can say about Melissa is that, you know, her testimony is genuine. What I can tell you about John is when he leaves his home, he's praying over his family. See, God will work about change in your life. He will work it out. And I've thought about many of you. There's many weeks I go and I see Brenda Jackson and I go, God, you know, when is this going to change? When is this changing for her? And look here. It may be a slow change. It may be a fast change. But at the end of the day, every day that you have in the middle of your battle is not wasted. There's not a moment of it wasted. There's not a tear wasted in the struggle. But don't be somebody that can't get past the past. If certain things have gone on in your life, and you've got some things behind you, stop looking at them things. Stop looking at them. Stop grieving over them. There's a time where you need to be able to move forward in your life and go with the change that God has you. Now in Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to look at verse 8. And it says here, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Many times when I'm going through a struggle, Miss Mary, what I'm looking for is one thing that's not changing. There are times in my life, I don't know about y'all, but when one thing changes, it seems like everything's changing, and it really gets me all in a tiz, and I'm just like, God, is there anything about my life that's not changing? And we get emotional, we get overwhelmed, and we're going, everything's changing, and you're looking for one thing that's still the same that you can hold on to, that you can latch on to. And so one of the things that I want to minister to you about change is this right here. There is something that you can hold on to, and it is the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, it says, the grass withers. What does that mean? There are things in your life that are going to wither, they're going to go away, that you're going to not like it. Some of it you're going to like it. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God will take some things out of your life. He'll put some new things in there. But you know what? The grass withers. There's things that's withering in your life. There's things that's withered in my life. Did I like it? No. Does that change reality, me not liking it? No. It doesn't. But the Word says the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God stands forever. The Word of our God stands forever. When everything has changed in your life and you're grasping at straws, what can I hold on to? What can I build my life on? The Word. The Word. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. See, the Word is the thing that in your life that's not changing. The bad thing is most Christians will not slow down to get the Word inside of them. You ever notice when you're watching the Titanic or whatever you're watching, I don't meddle into what people are watching because I don't really care. All right? I've got real issues that I'm not going to get all upset about whatever. People get around me and they're like, they'll start talking about something and I'll come in the room and they're like, shh, shh, shh. Sally Sue, shh. We don't want Pastor Kelly knowing we watched this. And they'll say a character's name and I'll go, oh my gosh, that girl. And then I'll start talking about the show and then they'll go, you watch that too? Well, of course I do. I'm a human. That's how life is. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm better than you. Invite me over to your house. I'd like an invite and some snap chips. I want to sit there and watch it with you. Amen? But, you know, life, there's things that change and there's things that don't change. But the Word won't change. And there are people, there are good-hearted Christians, and everything in their life has changed. And they're hurting. They're struggling. And what they won't do is just slow down for just a minute to get that Word inside of them on a daily basis. See, on a daily basis. It's not up to the pastor to put the Word in your heart Monday through Sunday. See, that's your job. That's your job. Sherry, it's my job to get up here, hear from God, know what I'm supposed to minister to you, and speak that truth out. But at the end of the day, you are supposed to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if you haven't gotten to a point in your life where you realize that working it out is an actual workout and it's going to take some work, then you haven't gone very far in your salvation. But you got to work it out, and you do that with the Word. The Word isn't changing. The Word won't change. Why? Because the Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's the same. God's the same. I come against a little glitch, probably 2 days ago. Now, the old Kelly, how many of you are obsessive? Oh, my gosh. I can be the most obsessive person. And Sherry, there was a little issue with some of the software that helped run this church. Now, the old Kelly wanted to obsess over that and get all worked up and blah, blah, blah. Now, here's where I've had some growth in my life, and I've changed a little bit. Look here, you know what the pandemic did to me? It made me realize that when something is out of my control, it is out of my control. Now, I used to, Heather, would think, I'm going to control that come hell or high water. I'm going to control that, and that's how it's going to be, and I'm going to make that happen. There's some things you can't make them happen. There you're going to drive yourself crazy. And the pandemic helped work a change in my life that I realized when I'm coming up against something that I can't possibly fix in that moment, I've learned to just stop obsessing over it. And I said, well, God, you know, we can't have a service without this or this or this. And you know what? God just spoke very clearly. Kelly, you can have a service without microphones. You can have a service without music. You can have a service without none of this lights. Kelly, you can have a service with nothing but me. Any of this stuff, it's all extra. If you're coming here for the lights or the music or the this or the that, you come into church for the wrong reason. If you're coming to church to hook up with somebody and to meet somebody, you're coming to church for the wrong reason. If you're coming to church to be judgmental, you're coming to church for the wrong reasons. See? Filter why you're coming. So it says here in the Word The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God, it stands forever. I want to encourage you today, get the word inside of you. Do it on a daily basis. Do it on a daily basis. A lot of people say, I'd love to put you in my pocket and just carry you around. That sounds unpleasant. Trust me, you don't want me in your pocket. I'm a mess, okay? You don't want that. What you need is you need to have God with you right there every day in the Word, in the Word, in the Word. See, even Jesus spoke the Word. When he was taken to a high place and the devil said, just throw yourself off, the angels will catch you. You know what? What did he speak? The Word. The Word. When you're going through hard times in your life, if you know the Word, you can speak the Word. If you don't know it, you can't speak it. So let's go now to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19. There's many times of change and transition where we mourn the loss of what was, and we're looking for the little things to hold on to that we think won't change. The Word is the thing to hold on to. It will never change. The Word will stand when everything else falls. The Word stands. The Word stands. I used to think I could have all the answers for everybody's problems. And then I shortly realized that God did not fill me with the same purpose that he filled Dr. Phil with. I may have my own TV show one day, and that wouldn't hurt my feelings, but I'm not going to sit there on a couch and be able to give everybody all those intelligent answers that he does. But what you can give is the Word, is the Word. I was sitting with someone this week recently, and they had watched a baby die, a little three-year-old baby. And they said, I'll never be the same. I'll never be able to be the same. And a part of me, the old Kelly would have been like, oh, yeah, you'll be all right. You'll be the same. Everything will be fine. Let me tell you something. Change happens, and it happens to all of us. And what we can't do is be ignorant to the fact that as change happens, we change. The change that comes in our lives, it makes us make changes. And I said to this person, you know what? You're right. You're right. You won't be the same. You won't be the same. Because what you are now is somebody that you're going to recognize. Anybody that you come into contact with that they've had to see that same thing, you're going to have an edge where most people don't, because you're going to have something inside of you that can relate to somebody that's been through that. I marvel at the amount of Christians that use their tragedy for evil. I'm going to say that one more time. I marvel at the Christians that use their tragedy for evil. And what I mean by that is this right here. We all go through things. Why? Because the Word says it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. In this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. There's so many believers that they've struggled, that they've battled, that they've gotten that behind them. God showed up in their situation. He turned it around for them. And then they were all hunky-dory. And then they watched somebody else go through it. And then they wanted to be judgmental about that person and instead of understanding. See, have you been through something? And has it affected you to the point where when you see that in someone else's life, you can reach out to them? See, your battle and your struggle and your change, it's not just for you. It's for everybody that comes into contact with you. God wants to use that in your life to produce compassion, understanding, to be able to reach out to people. There are things that I have been through, and Kelly 5 years ago would have been very judgmental about it until I've gone through them myself. And what I realize is that, you know what? God uses every struggle. Use every battle. Use every mistake, God, that I've made. God, use it all. Help me to help people with it. See, wouldn't you love to save somebody years in their life? You know what I think every time that we see these kids? I could not be more proud of the little kids that we've got, of the bigger kids. You know, little Cortland getting up there and singing. You know what? I wouldn't want to do that. You can get me and blabber in front of a million people, but no, I don't want to sing a lick. Why? Because that's just not something I'm up into. But what I want to create in our kids is the ability for us to speak into their lives and save them mistakes. We can't do that if we think that we're better. Or we think that, well, this person, you ever been judgmental about somebody and you stepped back and God reminded you of how you did that same thing? God does that to me all the time. Kelly, why are you being judgmental about that? You did the same thing. So in Isaiah chapter 43, we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. And it says here, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. One of the things, if you've got change coming in your life, one of the things that you're going to have to do in order for that change to fully take place in your life is you're going to have to forget the former things. You're going to have to forget them. A lot of people say this, and I hate when I hear people say stupid things. How about y'all? Getting to that point in my life where I can totally relate to Brother Angelo, because you get tired of hearing dumb things. Let me tell you what a dumb statement is. Is everybody hot in here? Who's hot? Raise your hand. All right. Where's the deacon at? Brother Sam, turn that down. Now, if you're wanting a scripted service, here's what I don't like. I don't like for people to be uncomfortable, because the word will make you uncomfortable enough, because it's going to make you change, that I don't need you sweating out in here. I remember when I first pastored, the year I first pastored, somebody got me the best gift I've ever gotten. You know what it was? Sweat pads to put under my arms. It was in a nice little bag. It looked all pretty. And I was like, what are these things? Because they kind of looked like something else. And I was like, that's a weird gift. I looked a little closer and I was like, ooh. Sweat pads. Praise God. I will sweat. I don't care if it's 0 degrees outside. I'll be sweating. And I still have those sweat pads. And when I wear something that's not going to go along with me sweating, I'll just line that inside of that thing up with them sweat pads. I'll have 3 or 4 of them things, and I'll just go about my day. Because you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to sit there and wear black all the time and be depressed about life because I want to wear something bright and then I'm going to sweat. That's not going to happen. So anyhow, what was I saying, everybody, before we talked about the air? Let me get back. Hearing stupid things. Thank you, Angel. Angel pays attention to these messages, I'm telling you. So it's dumb to say, well, I can forgive it, but I'm not going to forget it. Look here. Let's go back. How does he love us? How does God love us? As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions and he no longer remembers them. So if you think that you're working forgiveness in your life, but you're not, you're choosing to not let something go, you're not really walking in forgiveness. You got to choose. Am I going to let the memory of that thing go, or am I going to keep the memory? Am I going to let the memory go, or am I going to keep the memory? How do you keep it? You keep talking about it. I told my family, I said, when I get out of this struggle, when I get out of this battle, that's going to be the end of talking about this. Why? Because it's done. Because it's done. And it's over. See, you can't forget what you keep talking about. You can't forget what you keep talking about. And you can't have the good change that God wants in your life if you're still talking about the old thing that's gotten you ticked. You want change in your life. You want God's change. You want God's anointing, God's provision, and God's favor. Forget the former things. Forget about them. If you have stuff in your past that you're ashamed of, guess what? Welcome to humanity. We all have those things. Don't let them slip you up. Stop remembering those bad things. Go on and remember what God did for you in those times, and that's it. You don't got to sit there and keep recalling and keep talking about it. There's people that, you know, it's hard to even be around them because they will tell you the same rotten story about the same rotten people. Anybody have anybody in their life like that? You think, ugh, I don't want to be around them. We're going to have to hear every time about blah, blah, blah. And you just get tired of hearing it. Forget the former things. Forget about them. Forget about them. They're in your past. God wants to have some change in your life. So it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. We have to stop talking about those former things. How many of you think I've got a lot to talk about? I do. The hardest thing for me to do is to shut up. My little boy, Carson, when he was little, he used to say, Mommy, I can't be quiet or I'll pass out. If I stop talking, I'm going to pass out. Yeah, you're my kid. There's no denying it. But so many times, I'm just going to keep it real with you. So many times I'll hear somebody's name or I'll hear this and that person's hurt me or they've hurt my family. And Jack, you know, sometimes it's really hard to just keep my mouth shut because, yeah, I want to sit there and I want to tell about every rotten thing someone's done or I want to, you know, I want to blah, blah, blah. But the cost of that is this right here. It's going to make it fresh again. It's going to bring it back to life. You know, when you resuscitate somebody and you give them CPR, you're trying to start that heart to beat. You're trying to get that breath back in their lungs. And every time that you open your mouth and you spill out that poison, you're resuscitating that thing that happened to you that caused you so much pain, and you're bringing it life again. By your words. By your words. See, why are our words so important? Because God spoke the world into existence. And so your words are the most important thing because you're speaking. You're speaking. And to see if you're telling yourself, oh, this is never going to get any better. I don't like this knee thing. I don't like this and I don't like that. Guess what? Yeah, you're going to struggle and you're going to struggle pretty bad. Change. Change. Everybody goes through change. I laughed at the pandemic because the pandemic made us think of all the gross stuff that we did. You ever notice that? I remember when it happened, everybody was like, you got to have sanitizing stations and you got to have this and you got to have that. Let me tell you, 1 gallon, this is no joke, 1 gallon of hand sanitizer was $200. I was like, what? $200 on this stuff? God, why did you not either make me the inventor of Velveeta or this hand sanitizer? Because this is crazy. What did we have to do to be able to have the church open? Open the hand sanitizer. Buy it. So we buy it. If you're going to come into this church, you got to sanitize here. You got to stay away from people here. Yeah, and all this stuff. And I kept telling God, I am so sick of this darn pandemic. I am sick of having to do this stuff. Lord, this is ridiculous and all this stuff. Then we get the hand sanitizer in there, and everybody's like, that Pastor Kelly, she went off and she bought the hand sanitizer that smells like rear end. We're not using that. No. How many of you remember that hand sanitizer? See, if you don't think you got a testimony, you need to thank God he got you out of having to use that stinky stuff. I remember telling God, God, I'm so sick of this. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this change. But you know what? I hate to say it, but and people may not agree, but there was things that the pandemic did, and it created some change for the better. For the better. Not every part of change is bad. You have to get to the point where you can see some good in the change that's coming to your life. So it says here, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I was telling this person the other day, and they were telling me all about their tragedy. And I'm going to tell you something. God moves in tragedy. He does. God does some of his best work in the midst of so much chaos and tragedy. He just does. It's who he is. And I was telling this person, you need to pray over your home. They were worried about some things. And I said, you know what? You need to plead the blood of Jesus over your home. You've had some changes. There's things that's inside of your mind now that you can never unsee, that you can never, undo. And so the best thing that you can do is adapt to your new normal. And I said, you need to learn how to pray without ceasing. Pray over your home. Pray over your cars. Pray over your children. And he began to describe where he lived. And I was like, huh. I said, by any chance, do you live at blah, 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 blah address? And he said, yep. And I said, that home has been prayed over many times. Many times. I said, because that's where I used to live. See, God is bringing about change in all of our lives. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes change, it just freaks me out. It gets my mind going. It gets me overthinking. It gets me obsessing. It gets me worried. But look here, God will not bring you this far to let you go right there in a new season and turn his back on you. God's there. He's going to walk you through change. He's going to walk you through different things. And we have to be able to just adapt and accept them. And I put here in my notes, we have to surrender the things in our life. There are things that if I allow my mind to go there, Lindsay, I'm going to get myself worked up and irritated. They're still fresh. Anybody got any stuff that's still so fresh you could get your mind going and get irritated? Okay. Don't do that. That's a trap of the devil. To get your mind going and resuscitating that thing once again. And I was telling God, Lord, what do I do? Because when I think about this, it makes me want to go to a bad place where I want to hold a grudge. He said, Kelly, surrender those thoughts. Surrender them. Lay them out. Say, God, here they are right here. See, the devil would do anything to get you to hold a grudge, to get you to walk in offense, to get you to resist that change. God would do everything to help you to walk through it. Everything. Every single thing he would do and every single thing he's already done, we have to surrender that. How do we surrender it? We renew our mind. We renew our mind. We stop talking about it and we renew our mind. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. See, this world has a pattern. And sometimes Christians get confused about their situation and the world's pattern. Well, yeah, Pastor Kelly, you don't understand. I've got to do this. For instance, I'm just going to, can I keep it real? Okay. I remember when my boys were in preschool. Now, I personally think that every kid needs preschool. Personally. Because they got to know so much stuff by the time they go to kindergarten. It's not like it was. Man, I about knew my name when I went to kindergarten, and that was about it. I remember Daddy just took me up there one day, and they taught me how to use scissors. They taught me how to do all sorts of stuff that I did not know before I went to kindergarten. Well, when my boys were going to preschool, there was not a lot of options. And they said, well, you made too much money for your kids to get to go for free. And I was sitting there thinking, how on earth do I make too much money? That's hilarious. And I thought, great. And then the administrator, she said, well, if you'll lie about how much you make and just put on this paper that you make one thing, your kid can go for free. Now, I thought about that. And I thought, well, Lord, I sure want you to protect Carson and Colton when they go to preschool. I sure want your favor to be on them. I sure want your provision to be on them. I said, yeah, I'm not going to be lying about that. It's going to cost what it's going to cost. Well, there's only 4 slots, and there's like 100 and something slots for everybody, for all of the other kids, but there's only 4 slots. We can't even guarantee that your kids can get in. Look here. No, you can't guarantee me that they can get in, but guess what? I serve a God that He can guarantee that to me. I said, you know what? God's going to put my kids at the top of the list. Not because I'm perfect, but because I chose to not lie about that and get in free like everybody else. So guess what? No, if God wants these kids at the end of the day to have some preschool, they're going to have preschool like everybody else gets to have, but it's not going to be because Mama lied about it. And you know what? It was expensive. I made sacrifices to be able to send them, but guess what? They went. Life went on. If you got to lie to get something, that's like opening up the door and letting the devil come right into your life and steal your finances, steal your health, steal things in your life, in your family. See, if you got to lie to have it, you ain't got it. If you got to lie to have it, you ain't got it. You got to choose. See, change will make you make a sacrifice. You may not like that new change every moment, but guess what? God's working it out for your good. So in Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, it says this right here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. See, a lot of people, they don't know what God's will is because they've just let their mind go willy-nilly with them the whole time. Your mind will get you in trouble if you let it. You'll think about something long enough and then you'll be doing it. People say, I don't know how I just boxed her face off, Pastor. I don't know why I cussed that person out. Well, I do. Sit down. How many times did you daydream about cussing that person out? How many times did you daydream about telling them off and giving them a piece of your mind? Well, that's why you did it. Instead of telling your mind, God will fight my battles. God will make a way. God will provide. God will be the judge between that person and me. See, instead of renewing your mind that way, see, the Word says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That means we're changing as we're renewing our mind. If you're not renewing your mind, the change isn't going to be good. Last place for me this morning is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 1 through 15. There may be people in here and they're going, you know what, God, I know that there's some things in my life changing and it's not easy for me. Look here, God knows. God knows that it's not easy. But it's time. It's time. I remember when I was a kid, my dad preached a funeral and he said, okay. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral with Brother Angelo, but you never know what he's going to say. That's what I love about him. I went to one funeral with him. This is when I used to work for him. And he said something. And every time he said it, the laughing devil got all over me. And I thought, God, this is awful. Please help me, Lord. This is not good. I'm laughing at a funeral. God, help me, Lord. But he started the funeral like this. Who is going to preach your funeral? And he was making a point. You know who I'm talking about. He kept saying it over and over and over. And these people were just looking. But I remember one funeral we were at, and he said, okay, take everybody that's at this funeral, take your watches off. Everybody took their watches off. He said, I want to talk to you about a place where there is no time. Angel, that was your daddy's funeral, by the way. So take your watches off. I want to talk to you about a place where there is no time. See, the devil will get you so going. And he'll get you to forget about what's really important. It's about the place that we're going that has no time. But here on earth, God talks to us, and he talks to us about things we can understand. And I want to read you these verses. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. See, is it your time to heal? This week I found myself saying, you know what, God? Just heal me from the inside out. God, work a healing. God, you know what time it is for me. Look here, God knows what time it is for you. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. See, there's some of us, we've been mourning too much. It's time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. There are things that when they happen and they change and you're sitting there going, I'll never be the same. Look here. He makes everything beautiful in its time. In its time. If your situation hasn't turned to beauty yet, give it some more time because, see, God is going to make it happen. You don't have to. God is. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. You know what? If you're walking around in your life and you're unhappy, that's not what God has for you. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil, that is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been and what will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. And what I wanted to minister to you this morning is this right here. If you're in seasons of change, don't fight that change. You have to embrace it. You have to say, God, help me to learn everything in this season that I need to learn. God, give me understanding, and God, give me wisdom. If there's anybody in here, I'm not going to make a big production of it, but you know, this needs to first and foremost always be a place of prayer. If you need prayer, I want to lay my hands on you today. And it's not something that I do in every service, but I only do it as God directs me to. You can pray over somebody or you can put your hands on them and just begin to pray. That's what I want to do this morning. If for any reason, if you need hands on prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you to come up here. God's going to meet you right where you're at. I'm going to give you a moment. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, as people come up, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're meeting them right where they're at. God, I ask that whatever change that they're going through, Lord, that you make it easy. God, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I speak to every broken heart in here this morning. Lord, and I begin to speak peace to it right now in Jesus' name. God, you know the end from the beginning. So God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you're full right now, God, of absolute power and absolute will, God, and you're pouring that out on us, God, in Jesus' name. If you're not up here and you should be up here, I want to tell you that nobody's judging you. Nobody's sitting there thinking, well, what are they up here for?